I forgot to bring myself on screen. I've been giving you the whole spiel. Hey, everybody. This is Katie Weaver. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 5th of May. Yeah, Cinco de Mayo. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I want to also welcome you to the show. I want to let you know that we are live streaming this event, as well as, of course, streaming through 1-2 Radio. If you are in the chat room, and you can find that by heading over to 1-2radio.com, click on the chat button and be redirected into the Facebook chat. And if you're there, you can find a link for the live stream, or you can just search it out over on YouTube or Facebook. Just look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. So simple enough. Oh, how's it going? I hope you guys had a good Beltane and a great full moon. How weird for Beltane and the full moon to be on the same day. I mean, I just got off the phone with my son. He works in HVAC, and his journeyman today, apparently a little while ago, said, it's Cinco de Mayo, so we're going out for tacos and beer, so get in your trucks. And we were talking about how fortuitous it is that it's Taco Tuesday and Cinco de Mayo. So there you go. And here I'd already thought out sausage for spaghetti for dinner. I might put it back in the freezer. It's supposed to be Taco Tuesday, damn it. And Taco Tuesday it will be, as well as Cinco de Mayo. I hope you all are doing well. Everything is good here. We are just doing our thing. Our weather's beautiful, and the bird feeders are hopping, like, all the time. We have, luckily, no more chicks hatching. Hopefully, we're completely done with chicks hatching. Well, we have a few guinea eggs in, but we don't really know. We don't know if our guineas, we have two, and we're not sure if we have a hen and a roo. They are laying a few eggs, so we don't know if we have a rooster or not. So we put some guinea eggs in the incubator to see what happens, because we're just not sure. They're not so easy like chickens to be able to tell. Or at least as far as I know, but at any rate, the baby chicks are looking good. Bruno, my little tiny Bruno, bit a baby chick right on the head. The chick is fine, so is Bruno, but I couldn't believe it. He always wants to see the chicks if you're holding them, and I usually just let him sniff them. He usually licks their little feathers a little bit or licks their feet. So he was asking to see a chick, and I just lowered it down to him like I have in the past, and he just bit its head. Little shit. So, yeah. No more chicken friends for Bruno, obviously. Yeah. So, yep, all is well here. And I have an interesting show for you. I've been thinking a lot about grounding and... The interesting thing about grounding is, you know, we talk about it in the New Age world all the time. Honestly, I mean, any part of your energy body, nothing's going to run correctly if your root chakra isn't. And your root is the most affected by upheaval and change in your life. And so it can become a really vicious circle if you don't know how to take care of your root or keep at least somewhat grounded. But people who have had trauma in their lives, people who had a very tumultuous childhood, or people that are just in a period of chaos in their life, sometimes really struggle to stay grounded just on a daily basis. The interesting thing about it is that it's not just the New Age community talking about grounding. It's kind of a consistent theme. And there's some really cool products out there to help assist you with grounding, as well as just lots of ideas. So I decided to just do a whole show on the art of grounding and talk about it a little bit. Maybe he was hungry. Maybe he was. That's even worse, Bruno. When I say I was shocked, I could not believe he did that. Scott was less shocked, more, you know, unhappy. But what can you do? Well, Obviously, Bruno doesn't get to play with chicks anymore. Not that he had like free access, I would never do that, but you know. No, the chick is fine. Yeah. He Okay, maybe a little bit nervous because when it happened, the chick had a little bit of liquid that came out of his mouth. But he didn't appear to be hurt at the time. He didn't even cheep or anything. It was just shocking. But no, he's fine. So, and this was 2 days ago, so I think he's going to be fine. I was just amazed that Bruno did that. I mean, he's a naughty dog, but I didn't think he had it in him to attack a baby chicken. But he does. Jane thought he got himself a snack. No, the baby went right back into the incubator and all is well. Still, though, Bruno, very disappointing, acting like a dog and all. Okay. Oh, we took a nice drive into the mountains this weekend. We were going to go to Salt Lake to the reptile show, but at the end of the day, we decided to stay home. That same show is coming more to our area at the end of May. So we decided to save the gas and stay home and do some stuff around here. So, yeah, speaking of trauma, right, Jane? That chicken's never going to be the same. But yeah, we took a nice ride up into the mountains, and gosh, it's so beautiful right now. Everything is just green and gorgeous, and yeah, lovely. And my favorite wildlife park, that one that I had a season pass to last year, they open in 10 days. I'm so excited. Yeah, I probably should get on their website and buy my passes because, yeah, we're going to be going a lot. Just like last year. I'm super excited. What's the temp there? I think right now it's in the 50s. We'll be in the 60s or 70s today. It's not bad. It's still getting pretty chilly at night. We're still, well, and we're in the 40s at night and up into the 60s or 70s during the day. Perfect. Tara said, is there energetically something going on that affects teeth right now? I think my dog Jasper lost a tooth, and my son Logan has been losing them like crazy. Fortunately, checkups are booked. Boy, not that I am aware of at all. It might just be in your. It's funny how in your house things like that happen, you know? Right. San Francisco weather, right? Well, we went on a walk yesterday, and it started to rain, and there were no clouds. And it rained pretty good for, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes, and then it stopped and then got humid as all get out and it got pretty warm. But yeah, overall though, it is just absolutely gorgeous here. Mars is coming home this weekend for Mother's Day, and then all the kids will be home next weekend for post Mother's Day. We have so much going on right now because my niece Mia is getting married in mid-June, and so the bachelorette party was this last weekend. That didn't affect me, but the girls were hosting. And then Mars will be home this weekend. Normally they'll come home, of course, for Mother's Day weekend, but they have to come home next weekend for the bridal shower. So I said, don't come home for Mother's Day and the bridal shower. That is just so much gas. So they're going to come home next weekend. We'll do the bridal shower and Mother's Day. But Mars is coming home anyway because her best friend is graduating from Montana State. So she will be home this weekend, which is great. But my only request from my kids for Mother's Day is to come home and do my flower beds. And they do, and they do a great job. I just have to remember to get out to the nursery and buy my flowers first because way too many opinions. I just want what I want, right? I want lots of pansies. I want the trailing petunias and a couple other things. And these kids have ideas. They think they can tell me what goes in my flower beds. No, ma'am. Anyway, but we're warm enough that I feel like it's safe to plant the flower beds and that nothing should freeze now, hopefully. Oh, Sherry's got her son planting flowers, her flowers this weekend too. See, that's the way to do it. My mom used to do that. That was always one of her Mother's Day requests, is just to come help her get her deck all planted. She had a big back deck that she had, oh gosh, dozens of planters on with flowers. Her deck was beautiful in the summer. So, yeah, she always needed flowers and help with flowers. I get it. I totally get it now. Sherry said, my daughter did not offer, but she still lives here, so she's still doing the mulch. That's correct. I love it. Well, as I said, I called this week's magazine The Art of Grounding. We're just going to explore some of the tips and tricks of grounding. There's a lot of interesting things to think about. We live in a very cerebral world. Lots of thinking, planning, reacting, constant onslaughts of information, constant exposure to electronics. Might have you floating right on out of your body. Not to mention trauma and upheaval and change that can contribute to that pretty exponentially, too. So, grounding is also known as earthing. You may have heard that, the practice of earthing, it's putting your feet on the earth. But this is really about reconnecting your body to the earth, literally. That connects your spirit, your energy body, your physical body. Connecting yourself to the earth. There's some scientific studies now that are showing that grounding can help to regulate stress, improve sleep, and reduce inflammation. And it appears to be doing that by influencing the nervous system and cortisol rhythms. Cortisol is huge. Cortisol is a hormone that your body secretes when you are stressed, when your body, not necessarily emotionally stressed, so that's a big piece, but even just, physically stressed, that's a part of that, of cortisol. And a lot of women, especially that have a hard time losing weight, a lot of times their cortisol levels are way out of whack. From doing everything all the time, from the constant multitasking, from being on 24 hours a day. Cortisol. But we all know the feeling when you just step outside, you take a deep breath, you connect, there's a whoosh, there's a feeling. My sister-in-law, Rhonda, whilst drinking, she always says she has a whoosh. So, we could be playing cards or whatnot and having a drink, and suddenly she'll do it. She'll say, I had the whoosh. I think there's a grounding whoosh as well. And I think, you know what I'm talking about. We've all felt it when you had that letdown moment where your body just let down, you got grounded, everything relaxed a little bit. The whoosh. Oh, Sherry said, I feel like this goes with PCOS. Oh, definitely it does. Yeah. Jane said her cortisol levels are high because of constant heel walkers above her. Yes. I hear this from people that live in apartments and split levels and stuff like that a lot, that the external noise from your neighbors is really hard on their nervous system. Hey, Kev. Okay. Why does it matter? Well, it matters a lot right now because we are living in such a, well, for one thing, we're indoors a lot more. That's modern life. Our ancestors, they were outside a lot more than we are. Even 100 years ago, they were outside a lot more than we are. We're surrounded by screens. We wear shoes that insulate us from the ground. We're constantly processing information, so we're very cerebral, everything going on in your crown. And grounding helps bring your energy back down into your body. Grounding is key when you're feeling scattered or overstimulated, anxious without a clear reason, emotionally heavy, mentally busy but physically drained, you know, when you just really like to sleep or rest, but your brain just will not shut up. That feeling. Suzanne said, home needs to be a sanctuary to enable calm and healing. Absolutely. Absolutely. And for some people it is, but it isn't for everybody. For lots of reasons. Sometimes it's because of who your housemates are. Sometimes it's because of where you live. Sometimes it's just because of the space. And I always hope that for everyone, they can find some place of peace within their home. But I agree with you entirely, Suzanne. Lillian needs grounding. Well, that's why we're here today. So some simple ways to ground that fit into daily life, because I love grounding meditations as much as the next guy and sitting with that energy. I love energy work as much as the next guy, but it's not practical necessarily for all the time, for when you're sitting at your desk in your office or when you are out in public, or, you know, there's lots of reasons why simple ways to ground are important. Stepping outside barefoot for a few minutes, just sitting in the grass, putting your hands in the dirt, even just while you're watering your plants, or just putting your hand on a plant or on a tree, just standing there with that energy for a few minutes is wildly grounding. If you're near water, even better. It is very grounding to be near the water. Rivers, lakes, oceans, ponds. Any body of water that feels safe and connected to you, that you can sit near, is very, very grounding. What if you can't get outside? Even just sitting with your feet flat on the floor and paying attention to your breath for a minute, it helps to reconnect you to your body and is grounding as well. So let's look at grounding tools, because this is what I think is pretty interesting. There are companies that are making all kinds of products that are meant to be grounding. And most of them are some kind of technology that includes metals, particularly copper. And most of them plug into the wall. It's pretty interesting stuff. I had pulled up an explanation. Let me see if I can find it. Okay. This comes from the earthingharmony.com website. And this is what they say. The modern pursuit of scientific evidence that grounding impacts human physiology and health begins with Drs. Carol and Powell Sokal in Poland and Clint Ober in the United States. The research that has followed has produced a fascinating body of evidence of a powerful and positive shift in the electrical state of the body and electrodynamics of blood and a boost to self-healing and self-regulating mechanisms. We believe that earthing allows a transfer of electrons from the ground into the body. We know that inflammation is caused by free radicals and that free radicals are neutralized by electrons from any source. Electrons are the source of the neutralizing power of antioxidants. In the earthing studies, as well as global feedback from thousands of individuals who have grounded themselves, we have consistent evidence of people whose pain has been reduced. Such reduction of pain is evidence, but not proof, that inflammation is reduced. However, studies point clearly in that direction. Interesting stuff. I'm going to put a link to their research page into the chat room. But again, you can find this over on their website, and it's earthingharmony.com. But several of the products I'm going to share with you today come from them. Grounding shoes. Now, I thought these were pretty cool. So, grounding shoes, they claim that they deliver the benefits of a barefoot connection while keeping your feet in shoes. Because, again, not everyone can get out, but also if you live in wintry places, you can't always just put your feet on the earth. But this is also intended to be a barefoot connection throughout the day. So one thing they show on their website is a measurement of your body voltage wearing regular shoes, and then a measurement of your body voltage wearing the grounding shoes. I'm going to show you. So your body voltage whilst wearing regular shoes was 1.85, and whilst wearing their grounding shoes is 0.02, meaning that you're grounded. Your energy is flowing into the earth. They are by earthingharmony.com. I thought those were pretty interesting. I mean, you can see they have this little copper stud that helps connect you. Pretty fascinating. And then, of course, there are grounding mats. Grounding mats also, of course, plug in. Now, people like these under their keyboards or under their feet to help reconnect your energy to the earth. They're supposed to help promote better sleep and also just better concentration. If you sit at your desk and have a hard time getting your thoughts together and thinking, this is supposed to be helpful. And again, a lot of people really find these things to work. I don't have a grounding mat, but I have a lot of clients that do that swear by them. So again, a grounding mat helps to connect your energy to the earth regardless of whether you're outside or not. This is a grounding mat for your bed. Now, these are pretty cool. I've studied these before. The idea, and these do plug into the wall as well, but it's the same idea. There's coils of copper that run through these mats, very tiny copper, of course, so that it's not, you're not laying on, you know, uncomfortable stuff. But again, they are meant to continue to keep you grounded. And people that sleep on a grounding mat swear by them that they sleep better, they have less pain, and they wake up with less pain. And they dream better, and they just all over do better while using them. I just think this is fascinating stuff. And then the other thing is grounding sheets. Now, I have had a set of copper sheets by the same token, and they were some of the best sheets I've ever had. I think there's something to all the grounding products. I don't know if you have to have them. I feel like if you can just give yourself a little bit of time to go outside and have living things in your house and maybe have some sound therapy and do a little meditation, perhaps products like this aren't necessary. But then again, what if you work in a high rise? You know, what if you are 30 feet above the earth for most of your day? What if you live in a high rise? I recognize that I'm lucky because I live on land and I live in a place that is very outdoorsy and, you know, I have lots of nature around me, but I know not everybody has that. So I think products like this could be really helpful in that aspect. It's Pretty interesting. Something else that's grounding are weighted blankets. Now, people use weighted blankets for, various reasons. A lot of times people use a weighted blanket for anxiety. So it makes sense to me that weighted blankets would be considered a grounding tool. It's a different kind of grounding, right? But it helps to bring you back into your body and calm your system. And weighted blankets aren't, anything that's plugged in or whatnot. They're just a blanket that are built in, well, with weight. Weighted blankets give you anxiety, Lillian? Interesting. So you feel trapped by them. I could see that. I'm not sure if I would do well with a weighted blanket either, actually. A little claustrophobia here. I don't know. Crystals and stones. I mean, we've talked about this a million times, but some grounding crystals, hematite, tourmaline, red jasper, smoky quartz, shungite, garnet, typically red or black stones. Obsidian would be another, onyx. But yeah, just carrying a stone or wearing a stone tends to be grounding for most people. Tara said she has a blanket for that, or a dog for that. She doesn't need a blanket. I hear you. Two of my dogs have to be touching me to sleep. Luca has to be pressed up against my side or my back, and Bruno down by my feet, but both of them are touching me at every moment. And in the winter, it's fine. But in the summer, sometimes go away. They get warm. How does one wash weighted blankets? I don't know. I'm assuming they're okay to just go in the wash. Or if they're big, you might have to take them to the laundromat. I don't know. Jane, I'm not sure what the answer is to that. Natural materials in your space. And this is, I think, kind of a given, but it's important to think about it because maybe you can be a little more intentional if you want your space to feel more grounding with the stuff that's in it. Wood, stone, clay, house plants. I think a fountain is a good one too. Having living things in your space. Years ago, when Scott's great grandma and my grandma were both in nursing homes, and heading over to visit them, I was always really taken with the ones that had things like live plants all over, fish aquariums. Scott's great grandma's nursing home had cats and dogs and birds. It was amazing. But to me, all of those living things in that space are grounding. We always kept living plants in our grandma's rooms for the same reason, because it's grounding. It feels good. It feels connected, especially for people who are bedbound or just really not going outside ever and stuff. I think these things are really important. But I feel the same way about classrooms. My mom always had plants. She always had fish. And for a long time, she had guinea pigs. But it was important to her to have living things in her classroom because the kids spend a lot of time in there and they need to have living things around them. I don't think she did that with the intention of grounding those kids, but it's what it was doing. It probably made them better learners. Speaking of inside animals, how are the piggies? So they're blowing their coats because it's May, and Zig is like naked. He's hilarious. His hair is gone. I'll have to try and get a video of both of them for you before next week. But yeah, he has really blown his coat good. I finished kind of when their coats get when they start to blow their coats, their hair is just loose. You could just take handfuls, like of their mohawk, and just remove it. Like you don't have to pull it out even. It just kind of sweeps out. So luckily they're doing that now while they're outside a lot because there's hair everywhere, but not so much in the house for once. So that's good. Because times when, like in Fee used to blow her coat in the fall, and by that time it was cold and she was in the house more, and ugh, that is a lot of sweeping and vacuuming. But anyway, otherwise, they're good. They're thrilled. They love this weather. They're mostly outside, and we were out of town a couple weekends ago. And when we got home, Zig had stolen, I should have taken a picture. Zig had stolen a beam that had come down that was sitting next to the greenhouse that Scott had just sitting there that needed to be taken out to the burn pile. It was from our old greenhouse, but so it was like three big pieces of a board that were nailed together to make a beam. I mean, he had to have done it with his mouth, but Zig had moved that all the way up onto the patio and had been trying to get it through the piggy door. You know how he likes to bring sticks and leaves and shit in to put in his piggy bed? Yeah, he had an entire beam, a giant piece of wood. He did not get it into the house. I don't know how he would have, but I can't even imagine what this must have looked like or how hard he must have worked. Made me kind of wish I had a camera on the patio to view this. Crazy stuff. But anyway, yeah, the pigs are great. All right, essential oils. We've talked about oils many, many times. But earthy, resin-based scents are really grounding. So, frankincense, sandalwood, vetiver, patchouli, those are all really good ones for grounding. And if you have another one that you love for that, then by all means use it. But the tree resin oils are ones that are usually recommended. Pine as well, cedar, or yeah, the cedar wood. All good and grounding. And then what about sound? We've used sound here on this show for years for grounding. But grounding is can be very sensory. Your energy body reacts to vibration and to sound. We know this. So singing bowls. Singing bowls are so good for your system. And if you've ever, and you can listen to singing bowl, recordings and stuff, which are great, great. But it is different to just sit with a bowl and hold it and chime it or sing it. It just resonates through your whole body. It's wild. I know I've probably told you this story before, but when my dad was on hospice, when he was in the process of passing and his cancer had spread into many parts of his body. So he had prostate cancer in the bone. So he started popping up with all these spots. And one of his spots was on his spine, kind of right between his shoulder blades. And it was itchy. But it wasn't like skin itchy. It was like way deep down in the bone, kind of itchy. And it used to bug the hell out of him because it's literally an itch you can't scratch. So what I learned is that if I laid a singing bowl right on that spot and just chimed it for a little while and let it vibrate, it would itch that spot. Isn't that weird? But every once in a while, he'd ask me to get my bowl out because it helped. It helped to resonate through that spot and in some way give him some relief from the weird itching feeling it had. That's just one very weird example, but I'm going to play the singing bowl for you. I'm going to drum for you a little bit too. But the resonation of singing bowls, in my opinion, is one of the most healing things you can do and easiest things you can do to just reset your system. So this is my big, let's see, C, D. This is the note of D. It's sacral chakra. So I'm just going to chime it several times, and I just want you to just breathe with it. Okay. Again, singing bowls are pretty great for stuff. Now, many of you guys have asked me over the years to give an opinion on buying a bowl. And here's what I'll tell you about buying singing bowls, because a lot of times you end up buying them online, which is fine. What you have to consider, in my opinion, and if you have a different bowl and you like it, please don't let me offend you, but in my opinion, the bowls that are, like, for example, have like a Buddha or something in the center of them, like not a painting, but like a real, insert, like a brass insert or whatnot, they don't resonate very well, in my opinion. Bowls that are hand hammered or even machine hammered, this is how they look. In my opinion, these bowls resonate a lot better than the ones that are the machine-made ones. Now, this one is machine-hammered, probably. I do have a bowl that is hand-hammered. I have a couple, but this one I think is probably machine-hammered. And the only reason I say that is because it's got a bunch of ohms on the inside of it. So there is some machining to this bowl, which is fine. It sings beautifully, so that's fine. I really like it if you find a seller that they have the tone of that specific bowl published. Sometimes you find them on eBay like that you can listen to what the bowl sounds like. That's really nice and helpful. The goal is to have the thinnest lip you can get. And that's why the ones that are just, oh, you can't really see it, Jane. Let me. Okay. There. Now, can you see the hammer marks? Personally, the hammered bowls to me just play better. But also, you want to look for as thin of a rim as you can get. The thicker the rim is, the harder time you're going to have getting that bowl to sing. So that's really the goal. A good hammer, or like a fully hammered bowl. And if you've looked at bowls, you know what I'm talking about. Some of the brass ones are, they're just slick. They're not hammered at all. They're just made. They're just a bowl. They just don't sing very well. So, and again, if you have one you love, then don't let me get you down. But I've tried a lot of bowls. I've sold a lot of bowls, and these are my opinions. When it comes to crystal singing bowls, the same rule applies. And crystal singing bowls are amazing. They resonate all the way through you. They're fantastic. My best advice is that you get one that's somewhere around an 8 or a 10 inch, and maybe up to a 12. They can get very tedious and heavy to hold for very long if they're too big. Unless you're just going to sit on the floor like with one in front of you or something. But if you're going to try and hold up a bowl, you've got to consider how big you can hold, right? And the crystal ones, you can buy huge ones, but I'm telling you right now, they are very heavy. And unless you're going to just keep them on the floor or somewhere to use them, consider that. So my favorite is a 10 inch. I have a 10 inch heart bowl that is my favorite crystal bowl. But crystal bowls, here's the thing about crystal bowls. You want them to be as thin as possible. You don't want the outside. There's a tough balance here. The outside needs to be somewhat rough, right? It needs to have some texture to it because that's what your clapper grips to make the resonance. But if it's too sandpapery, let me get my crystal bowl out. I wasn't going to use it today, but I want to show you a couple of things. I had all of those giant bowls. I don't know if you guys remember them, but I eventually sold them because, well, for two reasons. One, this was during Mars's heyday of softball, and she needed a new bat terribly, and she broke her bat, which so she had to have a new bat. And those bats are like $400. So I needed money, but also my bowl, I couldn't hold them up. I was using them like here on the show and they were killing me. So I sold them all, bought myself a smaller one, and bought her a new bat that she eventually broke because that's what happens. But it's what it is. Anyway, right here. This is my favorite. This is my favorite size. And I can't really show you the texture. This is where I think crystal bowls. I don't know. A lot of times you're going to have to buy them online, especially to get a decent price. But even if you get them, you don't want. Ooh, where did I get this one? I might have bought this in Salt Lake at the Dancing Crane. No. I don't know, actually. Scott gave me this for Christmas. So I don't know. That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's good size, but it's nowhere near the big bowls I had. So here's the thing with the outside. I'm not getting to the point very well. I apologize. So your clapper, this is what the clapper looks like, and it is suede. And so you want the suede, the texture, to be able to grip on the texture of the bowl, right? That's where you get that little bit of resistance to get the resonation from the bowl. If the texture of the bowl is too rough, too sandpapery, you have a hard time making consistent contact because it'll keep like the clapper just keeps coming off, and then you get like this banging stuff that happens. But the clapper just keeps getting sanded down on it, and so you've got all this shit coming up off of it in your face, but also it's just hard to make that contact. So anyway, long story short, you don't want a crystal singing bowl that has a bare side that's just slick. It has to have some texture, or you're gonna have a hard time getting it to really resonate. But you don't want it to be too rough, or you're also going to have a tough time. So there's a tough balance there. In some ways, I'm like, you should always just play a singing bowl in purpose, in person to be able to buy one, a great one. But that's not realistic for a lot of people. They have to be able to order one. I think don't be afraid to send something back. Maybe that's the key. But you really want to be able. To make that light connection, and you don't want to see. So what you don't want to see is your clapper just shedding off. But again, if you buy something and you don't like it, don't be afraid to return it and get something else. That's true, Jane, with shipping costs. Maybe do go buy local on these. If you buy one from someone, you should be able to touch it. You should be able to put your hands on it and feel that roughness, right? Tara said we got ours in person. It felt and sounded good. The big one was my engagement ring. Nice. I love it. That sounds perfect. Well, that's pretty much how it works with bowls. So, and I know, like Lillian, I know you've been thinking about buying one for a while. My best advice is to find, like I said, eBay usually has people who have a video or at least an audio file of them playing the bowl so you can get a good sense of that. Yeah. And they should be able to tell you what the note is as well. And what chakra that corresponds with. That they should be able to tell you that. Okay, let's move on to drumming. If you're drumming for specifically for grounding or drumming, like for therapeutic reasons. This kind of drum, it's known as a buffalo drum or a medicine drum or an open-backed drum. This is the right kind of drum because you want the resonance. However, if you have a bongo or something else that you love, then by all means, it's about the resonance more than anything, the resonation. So if you're going to use an open-backed drum, you want the back of the drum to be facing whatever you're working on. If you're just drumming for yourself, then hold it this way so that the back of the drum is facing you. If you're drumming for somebody else, like people do whole drumming sessions over other people, you just got to stay away from the ears because, broken eardrums aren't fun for anyone. You would keep your hand open or down so that literally the resonation of the drum is over your client. It's pretty interesting. I took a bunch of drumming workshops back in the day, and there's a whole system called Reiki drumming that is really interesting. It's also really restrictive and weird in some ways, but it definitely gave me a lot of ideas about using grounding and resonance for healing. I had a client years ago that was a teacher. I think she was a third grade teacher. And she came in to see me one day, and she looked like she was half dead, stress, circles, exhausted. And she said, "I'm having the worst school year I've ever had. I have more ADHD little boys in this class than I've ever had before, and I cannot connect with these kids. I can't get them to sit down. I can't get them to settle down. I cannot teach school." So we talked about drumming. What if you drum in your classroom? What if you use drumming as a way to help kids to calm down? What if we drum like while they take a quiz, or we drum, lightly, or we drum before we sit down for circle time or whatever, but so some strategic drumming. So she picked up a drum and started drumming in her classroom, and it changed everything in that classroom. She had parents buying drums to use at home because those kids were doing so good with drums. It's pretty amazing, but drumming. Really powerful and simple way to ground. Even if you just drum for like 30 seconds, you'd be amazed at how much that just centers you back in your body. Right? It would be fun in your classroom if you could find a way to afford or get a donation maybe so that you had enough drums for everybody in your class. Can you imagine that? And like decent drums, not like the. When I had daycare and preschool, we bought, you buy from like Lakeshore and stuff, all their little musical instruments, and they're total garbage, but the drums are just shit. You need real drums. But if you had a whole classroom full of drums, so that maybe kids are learning about like rhythm and beat, and that develops hand-eye coordination and helps to create synapses in their brain, but also is just grounding their whole system at the same time. Amazing! Yeah. I think every classroom should have at least one good sized drum for the teacher. Also, if you're ready to kill these kids, maybe some drumming is therapeutic for you too. Pounding that drum instead of these kids. I don't know. Terrible. Okay, we'll keep going. Every time. There we go. Okay. Nature sounds, waves, rain, and wind through trees. Oh my gosh. I need to make a video for you guys. I have a steel drum that I just haven't ever really connected with. And I saw other people putting them like under their eaves and stuff so that when it rains, the water drips down on the steel drum and it resonates. So In cleaning out my office earlier this year to make my pottery corner, I decided to get rid of that steel drum, and I'm like, well, I mean, it doesn't hurt me to go put it in my flower bed and see what happens. You guys, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard. When it rains and the water droplets hit that drum, it just like hums out there. A couple of times I've been like, what is that noise? And opened the front door to realize it was the drum. I will try very hard to get you a video of that next time. That is super cool. Have I ever heard of a wave drum? No. Do you have one, Sherry? I'll have to look it up. That's cool. But nature sounds in your house, you know? A lot of people use that for white noise. Waves, rain, wind through the trees. That is potentially grounding. So a simple daily reset is just to step outside and take a few breaths. Feel your feet on the ground, let your shoulders drop, and just be present. Like a rain stick, but a drum. Oh, cool. And also rain sticks. Thanks for saying that as well. I don't have a rain stick anymore. I used to. I wonder where mine ever went. I used it with daycare, so it probably got ruined. 'Cause, you know, kids. Okay. Kelly this week, she has an entire article about women who were whistleblowers who well, a lot of them paid the ultimate price, but really interesting stuff. Absolutely loved it. Kelly, I love this article. She's uncovered so much information about women in history that I had certainly never heard of, and I'm sure you haven't either, most of them. But women who were standing up for something. All right, there's a good written out daily grounding ritual here that you can take yourself through. Christy's energy exercise this week is gratitude. Lots of crime over at True Crime Squad. And of course, always lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. You can go look at those and see if one of them is calling your name. And that is it for Luminous this week. There we go. Okay, and that is what I've got. So I saw that was some interesting stuff, interesting things to consider. Maybe just building some things in to your life, you know, that are more grounding. Yeah. Must get a bowl. I think every household should have a singing bowl. I do. Maybe that should be my new wedding gift. My signature wedding gift. Everyone always gets a singing bowl. It's not the worst idea. Anyway, you guys have a good week. I will be over at 1-2-Listen every day this week. Of course, I'm a professional psychic advisor over there, and you can find me doing readings, healings, animal communication, mediumship, and lots of energy work over there. So come find me. I will be glad to help you out with whatever I can. I should be back next week, same place, same time. So we'll see you then. You have been listening to The Katie Weaver Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.